I want to share a word with you tonight. I know I'm kind of just jumping into it, but it's just right in my heart burning, and I want to preach it. Amen. So get your Bibles out and go to the book of Romans, if you would. And look at Romans chapter 3 then. You know, the Apostle Paul, to the book of Romans, you know, in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he's writing to the church. He's not writing to the world per se. He's not writing to everybody that's just out there in the world that never heard the Word of God. He's writing to the church. And, you know, of course, the Romans, he's writing to the Roman church, which is not very Jewish, although they had Jewish believers in the Roman church, but the Roman church as a whole, its character wasn't Jewish, all right? Because there were Romans that were saved and came into the church. And in Romans chapter 3, he starts trying to talk to the people. And what I want to talk to you tonight is simply some lines on the Word of God and faith. But he starts out here in verse 1, Romans chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "What advantage then is the Jew, or what profit of circumcision? For much in every way, chiefly because they were committed to the oracles of God." So he's saying to the Jewish nation, the Jewish people, he says, look, they were still God's chosen people. Now, on a side note, listen to me. Don't ever get down on Israel. Don't ever get down on Jewish people. This, that, they're God's chosen people. Leave them alone. They need to be honored, need to be supported, need to be prayed for. You say, well, they're not believers in Jesus. It doesn't make any difference. They were still God's chosen people, the nation, the race of people that he chose to bring Jesus into this world. Amen? And every time that you see anybody or any nation or anything not holding up Israel, just remember that that's the Antichrist. That's the other spirit. Amen? What advantage then? Okay, verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? No matter how many people in the world don't believe in God, don't believe in Jesus, don't believe the Bible's true, don't believe the Word of God has an effect, don't believe that it does any good to pray, don't believe God's going to do anything on this earth, that does not stop the faithfulness of God. Listen, I don't care. No matter how you look at it, no matter how you cut it, if somebody says, well, listen, I prayed once and God didn't move, well, that's not God's fault. I don't care how you look at it. I don't care how you cut it. People today don't want to take responsibility for their lives. They don't want to take responsibility for anything. It's always somebody else's fault. And it's really easy to say, well, God didn't do this when I asked him. But the bottom line is it's our job to have faith in God's word so that God then moves in our life. And whether if we're unfaithful doesn't mean that God's going to be unfaithful. It doesn't mean that God doesn't work, right? And so the Apostle Paul's trying to bring this point out. He says, look, all the unbelief in the world still doesn't make God less. Now, Jesus walked into his own hometown. He said, man, I was here. I was wanting to do miracles. I was wanting to do signs and wonders. I was wanting to help people. I was wanting to take people out of the stress and the yuck and the muck of their life. But nobody was believing in me, and so therefore, you know, I really couldn't do anything. I couldn't do any miracles. I couldn't get any faith generated. Couldn't get anybody to believe in me. But that still didn't take away that Jesus was the Son of God. He said, I could just heal a few sick folks. It's interesting that the Bible says that it's that the meek shall inherit the earth. Right? Not the great ones, not the movie stars, not Hollywood, not everybody's on TV, not the stars, but the meek shall inherit the earth. Why? Because the meek are always going to go in faith to Jesus. That's why you see mass miracles take place in the world and things taking place all over the place in other countries because God's moving, because people are desperate. People are dying. I mean, it's one thing when you can go to the clinic and get some antibiotics, but it's another thing if you're in a country where you can't even get to a doctor, and if you don't get healed, you're going to die. Kind of changes the way you think. Hello? So anyway, he's saying, verse 4 says, certainly not, let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. When I first got saved, and, you know, I was raised in a denominational church and never saw anything other than the normal ceremonial things in a church that just take place, the same routine every week, and never saw anything that was very flashy or very charismatic or any you know loud preachers or anything. And the very first evangelistic meeting or past you know what would you call it conference meeting you know convention I ever went to was R.W. Shambach. And if you've ever saw or read anything or seen R.W. Shambach, you know, in those days, and he still does, I'm assuming, but haven't seen him in a few years, but he wore a vest, you know, a regular kind of button-up vest, and he was a little, you know, he's a little given to the gut, and he was, but he was very boisterous and very loud and very flamboyant, and he strutted like a, this is my observation, he strutted like a rooster on the platform back and forth, you know, and I had never seen anybody preach like this, you know. And he preached that text right there. Let God be true and every man a liar, you know, man. He preached, and I mean, I'd never seen anybody like this, and I was taken with it, you know. I was just blown away with the whole new concept of you mean this can be church, you know, not just the same rote, dead kind of stuff. And I fell in love with R.W. Shambach, and read all of his books and listened to all his tapes and all the my young years of developing ministry. And I always wanted to be R.W., you know. I mean, if I wanted to be a pastor, I wanted our minister, I wanted to be one like R.W., you know. Just, man, he was just wild, wild, you know. And, those meetings did something to me. They changed my life because they let my mind open up and my heart open up to something that was new, that wasn't the same way I had always seen God put in a box. Are y'all with me? And all of a sudden, it's like I walked into a whole other world that I did not know existed. Now, had that world never been there before? No, it was always there. I mean, my gosh, go study, early church history and stuff. I mean, forever there's been flaming preaching, you know, all kinds of ministry. Just I didn't get raised in it. Right? But it was there. It was happening. God was moving. Things were happening. Miracles were happening. Signs and wonders taking place. All these great things happening, but I didn't see it because I wasn't in it. So just because I didn't have any faith in it, just because I didn't believe it, just because I wasn't, didn't mean God wasn't moving. God's going to move wherever he can find faith. If there's no faith, he ain't going to move. Are y'all with me? So then the great battle in life is the battle between trying to get in doubt and unbelief, or out of doubt and unbelief, into belief. Because the enemy does not want you to believe. He doesn't want you to have faith. He doesn't want you to produce an ounce of faith. He doesn't want you to produce anything that you might even get remotely to believe in God. Because if you do, then God moves in and moves in your life. I was reading Revelations this morning, and just my daily reading, and I came across, I believe it's chapter 4. Chapter 3 is where Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." And chapter 4 says, and John said, "I looked up into heaven and I saw an open door." And I was thinking, isn't that amazing? There's an open door to heaven. Right? It's not closed. It's not shut. God's not up there saying, "I don't want you to come in." He sent Jesus and shed his blood so that we could come and boldly into the throne room of grace. Right? The door is open in heaven. But if nobody goes in, you're not going to get the blessing. God didn't come put himself upon mankind. He said, "Mankind, here I am. My door's open. Come on in." So then any place in your life that you have doubt and unbelief that God, you say, "I just don't think God's going to do that." Well, then God's not going to do it. Because you've set the mark. Now, I don't care who you are here. You've got a lying spirit if you say you don't have doubt. Because all of us have doubts. All of us wrestle with that issue. Why isn't this happening? Why isn't this moving? Why have I prayed and this hasn't happened? Why have I been praying about this and doing everything I know to do, but I don't see anything happen? All of us have those, okay? So just might as well just get over the fact that you have those, because you're going to have those questions and those thoughts from now to the day you go to heaven. Now, the Bible says when we step into heaven, we're going to see Jesus, and then we're going to see him as he is, and then it's going to change us, because we're really going to see him, right? When we see him, boom, we're changed. Right? No more doubts, no more unbeliefs. You're standing in heaven, standing on the streets of gold. You see it all. You know, it's real. You're not going to have doubts and unbeliefs anymore. It's all going to be over with. And then you're going to say to yourself, because the Bible says that there's a moment in heaven that there is weeping. And I really believe the weeping is because we sit there and cry because, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't believe you. I didn't trust you. I didn't. Oh my gosh, this is it. And I wasn't even, I was full of doubt and unbelief over here on this. But y'all remember the story of the man whose son was demon-possessed, and he brought him to Jesus, and he says, Lord, can you heal my son? And he says, yeah, if you have faith, I can heal your son. And he says, well, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe that's a good prayer to pray. Lord, I'm trusting, I'm believing in you, but man, I got some doubts in my life, and help me to get through it. Help me to overcome it. Help me to see, open my eyes. Let me see it. Because the moment you see the truth, boom, the Bible says it sets you free. So we don't run from our doubts. We run to Jesus and say, Lord, can you help me with this doubt? Why am I not seeing this? Can you give me a scripture? Can you open my mind? Can you open understanding? Can you give me a word? Give me a message, whatever. Y'all with me? Okay. So now skip over to Romans chapter 10. Now, the scriptures tell us that God has given every one of us a measure of faith. So every one of us in us have the ability to believe God. It's in us. It's wired in us. It's born in us. In your soul. It's in your spirit. It's in your, however you want to say it. It's in you to believe God. Whether you do or not is immaterial. Right? It's like saying you do have a muscle that you could develop, but if you don't ever develop it, then, that's your fault. Right? So every one of us have in us the measure of faith, the ability to believe. It's there. So the first way to approach this doubt and unbelief in your life is you have to say, well, Lord, I got a faith meter in me. I got a faith believer. I got a faith muscle in me. So, Lord, help me to exercise it. Help me to understand. Help me to use it. Help me to do something here. Right? Okay. So now you know you got faith. You have a faith meter. You have a faith muscle, let's call it. You have a faith muscle in you that can believe. You know that believing is what brings the Word of God into your life and brings the miracle into your life. And so now how do we get it going? How do we generate it? Well, look what it says right here in the Scriptures. Let's just start reading verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God for Israel is that you might be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they are being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness of the law, that man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. So he's saying, they've been trying to be righteous by works. They've been trying to be righteous by doing things to please God. Or let me say this, they've been trying to exercise their faith by doing what was right so God would then answer their prayer. Right? But just doing things that you think are going to please God doesn't stir your faith. Let me say that again. Doing things you just think that you're pleasing God doesn't stir your faith. That's just works. Right? I mean, you follow what I'm saying here. That just gives you a knowledge, but it doesn't really put faith on the inside of you. Because that's not what we're talking about releasing here. See, so many people are in their head in faith, not in their heart. They're in their head saying, well, listen, wait a minute, I did this and I did this and I did this. And so, God, why didn't you move? But God's not interested in your works. He's interested in you releasing that faith muscle. Right? You say, well, how do I release faith? Okay, well, let's look at it. Verse 5. For Moses writes about the righteousness of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says that whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now verse 14. How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, who's believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Paul's trying to make a point to the church at Rome. He said, look, you can do all the works you want to. You can do all the good deeds you want to, thinking it's going to help you with God. But the truth of the matter is, faith comes from inside of your heart. And it comes from inside of your heart when you've heard the word of God. When you've heard the word of God and the faith muscle kicks off in your heart, your mouth comes out then with a word of faith coming out of your mouth, a confession that's made that brings about salvation. Okay, so let's put this in real simple terms. A person has to hear that Jesus Christ died on a cross, that he shed his blood for our sins, that he died and he rose again from the grave, that proving that he was the Son of God, before a person can actually believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Right? If nobody's ever heard of Jesus, then how could they be confessing Jesus? The first thing is, in order to get faith activated and working in your life, is you have to hear the Word. The Word of God. The message. If you don't hear the message, you don't hear the Word, then you won't have faith. I'm telling y'all, in these days and times, it amazes me because I can sit around and I can listen to the radio and I can read all the bad news and I get negative. I notice it myself. I just get negative. I'm like, well, there's no sense. You might as well just sit around and wait for the rapture, call underneath the tree and forget it. I ain't going to mess with nothing. Well, what's happened? The reverse. I heard the bad report. I saw the bad report. I spoke the bad report. So therefore, doubt and unbelief entered in. Is that right? So then it does make a difference what you listen to and what you hear, what you see, and what you say. So then it flips around the other side. Then if you hear faith, you see faith, you speak faith, faith's going to start to operate in your life. A few of the things that happened to me in my life that were so instrumental, one of them being when I started to learn to pray out loud. I started to hear myself pray. And then I started to hear myself pray the Word of God. I started to hear myself say what the Word of God says. Because, see, when I heard myself say what the Word of God says, then my ear heard what I said, and then the muscle, faith muscle inside of me started to work. Because it's alive. It comes alive to the Word of God. If a person never hears the Word of God, never speaks the Word of God, never reads it, never hears, never is in contact with it, well, then there's no faith going to be produced in life. You can't just have faith just because you have faith. Lord, I believe you. But you may believe that he's Jesus. You may believe he's the Son of God, but you're not going to have it active in your life and working in your life unless you're actually having something stir your faith. Right? So then the Christian world gets into the numbness of life because of all the stuff going on, depending on what they're listening to and what they're saying, is going to be totally and completely based upon then what they're believing. Because if faith is what activates the Word of God in your life, but you don't ever say faith, then faith doesn't get activated. So therefore, God's not living. He's not alive. The door's not open to you. You're not walking in and out of the door. Now, I'm not just saying denying things. I mean, if your foot hurts, your foot hurts. There's no sense saying my foot doesn't hurt. If the thing's throbbing, it hurts. But if you start to say, well, my foot hurts, oh my gosh, I best, you know, that thing's gonna fall off, then you're not saying anything to stir your faith. Right? But if you go to the Bible and you read where Jesus healed the man with the withered hand, then you could turn around and say, Lord, you know, you healed a man with the withered hand. I see it right there. You said I healed a man with the withered hand. And then go over to Isaiah 53 and read where it says, you know, that by the stripes of Jesus you're healed, that's what he did. He bore him on the cross. You begin to meditate on it. You begin to speak it out of your mouth. Lord, you went to the cross. You went to the cross and died for me. You spoke, Lord, that's what the word said. That's what the blood was for. Lord, and then all of a sudden in all of the words speaking and all of the things saying, it's not going to happen, you know. It may be, may not. I don't know. Depends on how much doubt you have. It all depends on how inactive your faith muscle is. So the degree to the Word of God that has to be spoken out of your mouth to get you to finally believe is the degree to how dead your faith muscle is. I used to lift weights when I was in high school, right? And I can talk about how much I used to lift then. I ain't gonna lift it now. Those muscles are long gone. They ain't there no more. Right? I can talk about the past, and if I want to have it in the future, I'd have to start exercising my muscles again in order to get to that place where I could do what I did. And then I don't even know if it's possible at my age. Y'all with me? I guess it would be, but I don't know. If you don't activate faith, and you know, your whole life is based in a boiling pot of doubt and unbelief, well, then you're going to have to do some work to get your faith muscle working. It's going to take time to get it working and exercising. Okay? So let's say that you have an area of your life that you know you have doubt and unbelief in, and you want to have faith in that area. Then what's going to have to take place? Same thing that I've just been saying. You're going to have to find that area. You're going to study that area. You're going to speak that area. You're going to find preachers preaching on that area. You're going to read books on that area. You're going to stir the Word of God in. It's going to take time to exercise your muscle to before you're ever going to believe that that's true. There's going to be some things that's easier for you to believe than other things that's hard than for you to believe or to trust God or however you want to say it, to get your faith working. If you've been in an area that you, like Frank, I remember you telling the story about God telling you to plant, go ahead and plant your seed and everything looked bad, but you went ahead and did what he said and you'd seen Isaac, you know, Isaac, you planted seed in the famine, and you knew those scriptures, you knew what it said, but you went out ahead, you felt like that's what God told you to do, you did it, you planted it, everybody said you're crazy, you did it, but it's the best crop you ever produced, right? Okay, but if you've done it once, then you can do it again easier. The first time's always the hardest, right? But then you can stop and say, you could be full of doubt, and you could just come in and say, I don't know what we're going to do. Things look terrible. And Darlene said, well, Frankie, why don't you just be quiet and change your confession? Because you spoke out one time that this, and you saw God move. And so therefore, if God did it, then he'll do it now. And you say, man, that's right. What am I doing? What am I thinking? Why am I saying this? What am I, you know? But see, doubt and unbelief creeps in there. But it's easier to go back if you've already been there. But if you're in an area of your life you've never been in, wow, it's a jungle. You know? It's a jungle. And you're just trying to creep in there and, whoa. You know? Because you've never been that. You've never blazed that trail before. And you can step back and you can quote all the other areas of faith that you know God in. Right? But it doesn't blaze it forward. It only goes forward when you say, okay, wait a minute. What do I have to do here to get over there? And you may have to go find somebody that's already been down a trail like that. that God did something for them, and go read their book or listen to their tape or find out who they are and get that into you and get it going and get it concerned. Oh, well, okay. And then all of a sudden, as you're listening to the word, because the only word you're going to have any faith in is words you've heard. Because most people die in the jungle because what happens is that they say, well, with God, all things are possible, so we can do this. But they really don't have any faith for it. So they step into the jungle and then just get lost in the jungle and sometimes never find their way out. Right? Because I've been like that so many times in my life. I'm faced with it. I'm right at the... I mean, here is... I have a path and trail back there, but I'm right here at the jungle. And I'm like just looking into the jungle saying, God, you know, this is where you've led me, and I know where I've got to go forward, but this is scary, Lord. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I'm scared, Lord. I mean, I got to go into the jungle? I don't want to go into the jungle. Caesar, just look back here and back off. But if we want to go on with God, do what God's called us to do, then we've got to figure our way through the jungle. And the only way through the jungle is by faith. And the only way you can have faith is you have to hear the word of God to produce the faith in you to be able to move forward. The other day I was trying to, I don't remember what I was doing. I was trying to put something together. I don't remember what it was. But I was trying to put this together and I could not get it together. I could not get it together. It just would not go together. And I just kept thinking, what is wrong here? What is wrong here? And then it was like, oh, wait a minute. What if I turn that over? And the moment I turned it over, it just went together just as easy as pie. And that's how it is with our faith. Sometimes we're looking at something, we're saying, why doesn't this work? Why doesn't this work? Why doesn't it work? But we just have to have some faith to back up and sit there and hear God's word, speak the faith in our hearts. Oh, flip it over. Oh, it went easy. Hello? But it takes effort on our part. It takes the effort on our part not to hear and live in the place of doubt and unbelief. Now, let me give you another scripture here. Go to the book of Hebrews. Just bear with me a little bit longer. Hebrews 4. There's a place that we can enter in by faith into the rest of God in that area. Y'all with me? There's a place of God's rest in our lives that we don't have to struggle. That once by faith we've entered in, it should be rest. Okay? And so what we want to find in our life is the places we're out of rest and get in rest. All right? So he says in verse 1, Hebrews 4, 1, therefore, since the promise of God, there remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of them seem to have come short of it. So we're supposed to be in a place that says, man, I don't have any peace right here. Lord, what do I need to do? Okay? So it should be a determining factor in our life for what we're going to do. So it says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those that heard it. So, as much as I would like to drag everybody to heaven with me, there's a realization that it ain't going to happen. And it's sad to me to see humanity in a place where they absolutely don't have an ounce of faith. You know, it's sad. It's just like, What's happened? And I know that the only thing that could change it is the preaching of the gospel. It's got to be the preaching of the gospel. Because if there's no preaching of the gospel, then how are they going to hear? If they can't hear, how are they going to believe? And I believe that the places you find where there's not a lot of faith, it's because there's not a lot of preaching. Right? Okay. So, go down to verse 11. Therefore, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living, it's powerful, it's sharpening a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit, and the joints of the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So, the first two, number one would be you have to believe the Word of God's true. Okay? If you don't believe the Word's true, I guess let me back up. The first thing you have to believe in life is you have to believe that you do have faith to believe. Right? That you have been given a measure of faith. Second thing is you have to believe the Word of God's true. And the third thing is you have to hear the Word. If you're going to get faith active in your life. Because if you say, well, I don't know, I don't think I can ever believe that. Well, wait a minute, you've got a faith muscle in you, and if it's exercised, you can do it. You can believe it. It's so, I don't know what the word is. Not really, I want to say mystical, but so odd to our thinking that there's something in you that if you just activate it, miracles will take place. But the Bible says that every one of us have a measure of faith. Every one of us have a faith muscle in us. Every one of us do. There's nobody, you can't say, well, I don't think I can believe that. Well, you do have the ability to believe it. You've just never exercised it. Right? So, the first thing, let's just put it this way simply, is if you're going to walk in the things of God, first thing you have to do is you have to realize, come to a revelation that you do have a faith muscle in you and you can believe. But then you got to understand that when that faith muscle, how it technically works, I don't know. I just know it works. That when you hear the Word of God and it gets connected to that faith muscle and then it comes out of your mouth, things change. Things change. And no matter how old we are in the Lord, we never get to the place where we don't have to keep exercising it. Somebody told me this the other day. I didn't read it. Somebody told me something about after you get a certain age that your muscles begin to just deteriorate like at a huge rapid rate. Does anybody know this figure? It was something stupid. It like made me mad when I heard it. I was like, that is not fair. It was right along with the same article that I read about the only two things in your life that never keep growing are your ears and your nose. You ever heard that? I'm like, who invented God? What is this all about? Why in life would you keep our nose and our ears keep growing? I mean, why would they not stop? And then I said, well, Lord, if my nose and my ears can grow, then why can't I grow taller? If I grew taller, then I'd never have to worry about losing weight. Just keep getting taller. I mean, isn't that not thinking? If your nose and your ears keep growing, then, dear Lord, why doesn't everything else keep growing? And why are my muscles deteriorating? That don't seem fair. What's wrong with this picture? It's like humorous. I think God did it just as totally as humor. Don't stop that. Let's let them keep growing. Let's see what they look like. It's crazy. So the point I'm trying to say is that if you don't use faith, you're losing it. You're deteriorating. And if you don't exercise it, you're losing. You're going backwards instead of forwards. Right? The good news is you can't exercise it. Simply hear the Word of God, listen to the Word of God, hear the preaching, hear the Word being sent forth, the proclamation of whatever, and then use that in your life to move forward. Now, I don't believe that we don't need to know what's going on in the world. We don't need to be absolutely clueless. But on the same sense, you know, because you need to know what to pray for, and you need to know how to pray, but we can't let it be the determining factor of our lives. Right? The Word has to be the determining factor of our lives. So it's a Word that's alive and it's powerful. And how it works, I can't tell you, but I just know it does work. I just know that if you listen to a CD of Word going forth or whatever, you listen to the Word, your faith is going to stir. You're going to feel better. It's going to strengthen you. Your faith is going to come alive because that muscle, it starts just to vibrate and come alive when it hears the Word. Here's doubt and unbelief. It just gives up. Just quits. Hello? So, with everything else I've been saying along the whole lines of everything for 2013, we got to get our faith muscles exercised. We got to build them. We got to strengthen them. All of us, me included. Because I'm telling you, I'm just like anybody else. The greatest prophet of the Old Testament, Elijah, crawled underneath a juniper tree one day and said, God, would you just kill me? After he just called fire down from heaven. After he just saw all the prophets of Baal destroyed. And he got discouraged. All because of what? Words that Jezebel spoke to him. Jezebel spoke them to him. He crawled underneath the tree. And not until he went to the mountain and heard the still, small voice of God speak to him. You know, did he turn and finish the last of his years as a great prophet and end up on a fiery chariot going to heaven and not dying? Think about that. You think you failed in life before? Here's a guy crawled underneath a tree and said, God, kill me. And he ended up riding a fiery chariot to heaven. Okay? So just get over it. Live for tomorrow. Build your faith and go on. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, build your faith. Amen. Well, I pray that encouraged you. I had no idea where that one came from. What when I was going to preach.